take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, April 1st, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us today on this April Fool's Day, but there are no April Fool's tricks in today's show. I have learned my lesson over the years. I've been doing this for 8 years now, and I used to do a April Fool's news post where I would come up with something crazy. Like one year I came up with a post that George W. Bush had decided to legalize marijuana. And I got a lot of hate mail for that when it didn't turn out to be true. And, you know, the whole April Fool's prank thing, I think, has gone, I don't know, maybe a little too far, too long. It's just with the age of the internet now and so many of these satire parody sites like The Onion and all the knockoffs, it's almost not even necessary to have an April Fool's prank anymore. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So we're just going to go with the straight news today here on the Russ Belville Show, and we have got some great news for you today. First of all, let's talk about our interview coming up at half past in our cannabis community chat. We got Matthew Mills joining us from MedXRX.com, and they are involved in investment in the marijuana industry. So if you're looking at surfing the green rush in this big wave of legalization that's moving from west to east across the country, you want to stay tuned because at half past, you're going to learn a whole bunch about marijuana and investing. Also coming up on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant. And in the rant today, we're going to take a look at some of the latest information on marijuana and driving. My friend Paul Armentano, the deputy director of Normal, forwarded me today a study that took place in British Columbia. And an interesting study because they took a look at all drivers who had been in an accident, as well as all the people who had gone to the emergency room, whether or not they were drivers or not, and came up with some interesting data on driving and marijuana that once again illustrates what we believe, and that is there is no cause for alarm. There is no stoned mayhem on the freeways that is going to require all sorts of draconian penalties and unscientific standards. So we'll talk about that, marijuana and driving, per se DUID laws, all of that coming up at the end of the show. Also on the show today, drug war data mining, and we've got some new polls from Florida. I reached out to the campaign there that's trying to get medical marijuana passed to see if I could get you some of the top line information, some of the demographic drill downs, and we've got them today. So we're going to show you who supports medical marijuana in Florida, or should I say, can we even find anyone who doesn't support medical marijuana in Florida? That's coming up in the drug war data mines. Also on the show, in Behind the Headlines, there was a Donald Trump town hall meeting that took place. Chris Matthews from MSNBC was the moderator for this, and they got a question, a very good question from the audience on prison reform and how does drug legalization fit into that. I've got three clips from Donald Trump and Chris Matthews, and you're just going to have to decide which one of them is more reefer mad. I'm not, I don't know. I think maybe Trump came off as the sensible one in this exchange. You'll have to hear it to believe it. But that all comes right after our Cannabis Radio News in association with the Associated Press. And in the news today, we've got the Washington, D.C. smokeout happening tomorrow. The DUID bill in Maine runs into a roadblock. There could be potency limits for marijuana in Colorado. A county in Tennessee voting on marijuana legalization, maybe. A look at legalization in Vermont, and in Ohio, a House panel looking at medical marijuana. All that coming up on the Russ Belville Show.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dagger, hurry, its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Let's grow together. The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Friday, April 1st, 2016. DCMJ, a pro-marijuana legalization group led by longtime activist Adam Eidinger, will bring a 51-foot replica joint to the White House for a protest tomorrow afternoon. The group is encouraging a smoke-in, a civil disobedience gathering where protesters will smoke, vaporize, and otherwise consume cannabis. While Washington, D.C. legalized personal possession and cultivation of cannabis in 2014, public consumption is still forbidden. Additionally, the protest takes place in an area governed by federal law, which still maintains strict pot prohibition. Quote, "We're tired of being ignored," end quote, Eidinger told Washington City Paper. DCMJ's website asks, quote, "President Obama smoked cannabis and became the president of the United States, and while he might think cannabis is a bad habit, does he seriously think it's on par with heroin, nicotine, or alcohol?" End quote. An attempt to establish an unscientific 5 nanogram per milliliter DUID THC impaired driving limit has stalled in Maine. The Maine House unanimously voted to defeat a bill passed by the Senate to establish the so-called stone driving limit, mirroring a similar law in Washington state. The co-chairwoman of the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee confirms that the disagreement between the Senate and House effectively dooms this bill for at least 1 year. 17 states have laws setting limits on THC in the bloodstream while driving at between 1 and 5 nanograms per milliliter or at zero tolerance, where any amount confirms impairment. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has said that it is, quote, inadvisable to try and predict effects based on blood THC concentrations alone, end quote. Legislators and citizens alike are attempting to place potency limits on marijuana products for adult consumers in Colorado. Representative Kathleen Conte is the sponsor of an amendment in House Bill 1261 that would establish a 15% THC potency limit on marijuana flowers and edible products. Noting that, quote, all the studies that have been done on THC levels have been done on THC levels between 2 and 8%, end quote, Representative Conte's bill would also mandate a warning label explaining that, quote, the health impacts of marijuana with a THC potency above 10% are unknown, end quote, on all marijuana products.
Meanwhile, two citizens named Allie Pruitt and Ron Castanga are proposing a ballot initiative to set a 16% limit on marijuana products with a warning label about marijuana risks, such as, quote, birth defects and reduced brain development, end quote, to long-term addiction. Residents of Knox County, Tennessee may get the chance to vote on the issue of marijuana legalization this November. Stephen Cooper is the man behind two initiative questions that were approved for petitioning in this county of over 400,000 people centered on Knoxville, the state's third largest city. The separate petitions ask residents to approve of the recreational use of marijuana and the medical use of marijuana. Each petition will need over 16,000 signatures to make the fall ballot. Even if passed, Tennessee state marijuana prohibition would render the measures ineffective. Vermonters for and against legalizing marijuana in Vermont are lining up at the State House to testify on whether the state should take that step. The House Judiciary and Government Operations Committees are taking testimony on a Senate-passed bill to legalize possession of up to an ounce of marijuana for people 21 and older. The House chamber is expected to be filled to capacity, and overflow areas have been set up with video hookups to the hearing in the State House cafeteria and a first-floor hearing room. House Judiciary Committee Chairwoman Maxine Grad, a Moortown Democrat, says her panel hopes to finish its work on the bill next week. She says it's unclear whether the panel will vote to support the measure. A House panel contemplating ways to legalize medical marijuana in Ohio is wrapping up its business with a marathon session. Republican Representative Kirk Schuring of Canton chairs the task force. He said 40 witnesses were scheduled Thursday and testimony was expected to last into the evening. The group was created after Ohio voters overwhelmingly defeated a ballot measure last fall that would have legalized cannabis for personal and medical use. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Friday, April 1st, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
And if standing for the Constitution make you a whack-a-bird, then I am a very, very proud whack-a-bird.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we take a look at a town hall meeting. It was on MSNBC, headlined by Donald Trump. The moderator was Chris Matthews. And during that town hall, which was 45 minutes long, one of the people in the audience had a great question on prison reform and marijuana legalization. And the resulting exchange between Donald Trump and Chris Matthews has me questioning which one of them is actually more reefer mad. Let's start with the question and Trump's response to it.
My name is Shauna Freilich. I'm a professor here at the Communication Department.
Good.
So my question for you is around prison reform. What do you see needs to be reformed with our prison system? And with that, what do you think about drug legalization playing into the reform?
I think that as far as drug legalization, we talk about marijuana and in terms of medical, I think I am basically for that. I've heard some wonderful things in terms of medical. I'm watching Colorado very carefully, see what's happening out there. I'm getting some very negative reports. I'm getting some okay reports, but I'm getting some very negative reports coming out of Colorado as to what's happening. So we'll see what happens. And I think a lot of people are really looking at Colorado for prison reform. I think, as you know, our prison system is a disaster. It's a complete disaster.
All right. So first of all, he's for medical marijuana. He thinks he's for medical marijuana. He's heard good things about medical marijuana. This comports with an earlier remark he had made in the year.
Legalized marijuana is always a very difficult question for medicinal purposes, for medical purposes. Absolutely, it's fine.
So it seems as if Donald Trump is on board with medical marijuana, at least what he conceives medical marijuana to be. But more disturbing to me are his follow-up comments about legalization, saying he's gotten negative reports out of Colorado. And I wonder what those reports could be. Could it be the $1 billion in sales or the hundreds of millions in tax revenue or the fact that no more kids are using marijuana than had used marijuana before? Maybe he's referring to the edibles and some of the problems that we heard with those, with Maureen Dowd and people overdoing it. But that was pretty much limited to the first year of rollout. Those things aren't happening anymore. The products have gotten better labeled and there's more education. Now, Trump's response with respect to prisons and our prisons being a disaster is a little bit more problematic.
As why does everybody want to come here if we're not great? Everybody in the world wants to come here, and everybody does better in this country than where they came from. Yeah, everybody.
Other people have problems, too. By the way, with prisons, I think we can do a lot of privatizations and private prisons. It seems to work a lot better.
Somebody needs to inform Donald Trump that private prisons are not working a lot better. Private prisons are a shame and a disgrace on this country that require states to, like my home state of Idaho, has a contract with private prisons that require them to be 90% full. If the prisons aren't 90% full, the state of Idaho has to pay a penalty to the private prison corporation. So, of course, that provides a whole bunch of incentive to keep stupid marijuana prohibition laws on the books so you can keep throwing people into the private prisons. The private prisons are not doing a better job than we had done previously, Donald Trump. But now we get to the back and forth between Chris Matthews and Donald Trump, where Chris Matthews shows a bit of his reefer madness.
What are the problems you've heard about Colorado? Because a lot of people wonder about who do you want smoking dope? I mean, do you want your train conductor, the bus driver, the airplane pilot? No. What do you want? Maybe the guy who teaches philosophy, it might be okay.
Well,
I mean, does anybody trust anybody who's high to do anything? Yeah. I mean, I'm serious about this.
Well, I mean,
it's not recreational drugs. What's that mean?
Problems. There's a lasting negative impact. I mean, you do
the loss of ambition.
Yeah,
I mean, I think is there.
Loss. There's a loss of something. So that book has not been written yet, but it's going to be written pretty soon. And I'm not hearing very positive things.
Yeah. Well, okay, Chris Matthews, let's get a couple of things straight. First of all, nobody wants the airline pilot, the surgeon, any of those people, the train car conductor, to be smoking weed on the job. Nobody is asking for that. And legalization does not give anyone a green light to go ahead and do that any more than legal alcohol gives you a green light to get drunk before you get on the air on MSNBC. Nobody's calling for that. Legalization does that not make that more likely. People have, it's always been illegal to be high and be a pilot or to be high while you're in surgery. That's medical malpractice. There's nothing about legalization that changes that, Chris Matthews. And this thing about losing ambition, losing the negative effects of marijuana use. How many examples do we need to bring up of people who are leading successful lives who are current marijuana consumers? We can even just ignoring the entertainment industry and the sports industry. Ignore Michael Phelps, ignore Rihanna, ignore Seth Rogen, ignore Snoop Dogg, ignore Whoopi Goldberg, ignore all those people that seem to be doing just fine with their regular marijuana consumption. But there is a whole host of doctors and lawyers and plumbers and scientists and accountants and people in every profession out there who are regular marijuana consumers. You just don't know that they are. Chris Matthews is suffering from the same sort of selection bias most people suffer from when it comes to evaluating what a cannabis consumer is. They picture Leo from That 70s Show, Tommy Chong, you know, the Harold and Kumar, and imagine those guys operating on you or piloting the plane. No, it's just the regular old pilot and the regular old doctor.
I smelled some marijuana smoke in Vietnam.
It's not the worst thing ever, guys. Everyday, regular, normal people smoke marijuana. They do so on their off time. They have some fun doing it. They go to bed. They wake up sober the next day. And they go do their job. I'll bet even some MSNBC hosts might smoke some weed from time to time.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
Maui Wowie. Acapulco Gold, California Kush. Our strains stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
Chronicling the latest cannabis industry news and headlines.
Well, with four states with tax and regulate and the District of Columbia.
The state of cannabis.
Oh my God, it's refreshing. We have people that generally wouldn't speak on behalf of cannabis for fear of retribution, fear of losing your practices, fear of many of those things, and find ourselves in a place that we finally can.
Bringing you fact-based news and views and keeping listeners on the pulse of what's happening in the industry today.
The state of cannabis.
On demand anytime, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we are taking a look at the latest survey data coming out of the state of Florida. And I want to thank the folks out there in Florida that got me this information. And I'm trying to find the gentleman who emailed it to me. There we go. There's his name. Jeff Canning emailed me this information. And big thanks on this Florida report. And let's see if I can, I'm trying to find the name of the group. There we go. This is from the St. Leo University Polling Institute. St. Leo University, Florida, found that 68.1% of respondents strongly or somewhat agree that the Florida legislature should approve medical marijuana for Florida resident use. Only 27.6% strongly or somewhat disagree. Now, Florida does have limited CBD-only medical marijuana, and this March 25th, Governor Rick Scott signed a bill that allows terminally ill patients to use marijuana to ease their physical suffering. But that's just people on their deathbed, folks. This is not the broad medical marijuana amendment that's being called for in 2016. Keep in mind also in Florida that amendments have to be passed with 60% of the vote, not 60% of the vote. And in 2014, they narrowly missed getting legal medical marijuana in Florida with just 58% of the vote. So this poll showing 68% support bodes well for the chances of medical marijuana coming to Florida in 2016. We've got the breakdown by race, by age and by party. And where we're what we're finding here at Cannabis Radio News is nobody doesn't support the legalization of medical marijuana in Florida. We can't find a demographic group that is opposed to it. Looking at the young people aged 18 to 35, 45% strongly agree that medical marijuana should be legal, with another 22% who somewhat agree at 67% support. Looking at the people in middle-aged, age 36 to 55, 44% strongly agree, 24% somewhat agree, that's 68%. That's right, there's stronger support among middle-aged people than young people, just by a percentage point, but it's there. And for people over the age of 56, 41.5% strong support, 27.1% somewhat support, that's 68.6%. So while these numbers are just tiny increments, the older you get in Florida, the more you support medical marijuana. We also have the data breaking this down in racial demographics. Among white respondents, 44.9% strongly agree, 25.5% somewhat agree. So we're talking there 70.4% support for medical marijuana among white respondents. Among black respondents, 66.7%. So slightly lower support among black respondents, but still 2 out of 3 black folks in Florida think the legislature should legalize medical marijuana. Now, when we take a look at this breakdown by party affiliation, looking at the Democrats in the state of Florida, we have 53.5% strongly agree. So a majority strongly agrees medical marijuana should be legal, with another 23% who somewhat agree, making 76.5% of Florida Democrats in support of medical marijuana, more than 3 out of 4 Florida Democrats. But what about the Florida Republicans? 29.3% strongly agree, 30.3% somewhat agree. It's the only demographic group we could find where the somewhats slightly outnumbered the strongly, but just barely. It was just about even there, 29.3 versus 30.3, for a cumulative percentage among Republicans of 59.6%. We're at a point now where Florida Republicans by themselves could almost pass medical marijuana in the state of Florida. It seems to me that we are very likely to get medical marijuana in the state of Florida, and the legislature has got themselves in a bind because they have been towing this CBD-only line and trying to keep it as restricted as possible and rebuffing all efforts to expand medical cannabis access to all of the patients who could benefit from it, limiting it to just those cases of the epileptic kids who end up on the evening news, and now with Governor Scott's recent signature, adding the terminally ill patients. And this terminally ill thing, by the way, is not a new law, so to speak. It's more of an expansion of the existing law. Florida has for a long time had a law that allows access to experimental drugs that have yet to pass FDA muster for people who are terminal. The idea being, well, if you're going to die, why are we worried about whether the FDA says it's any good? That law has just been expanded to include cannabis. So people on their deathbed can now make use of cannabis. That's not good enough. You shouldn't have to be on death's door to be able to access a non-toxic healing herb. The people of Florida are going to make their voices heard this election cycle. If you haven't already registered or checked this out, go to unitedforcare.org. That's the organization in Florida putting together the Medical Marijuana Initiative. United for Care will give you all of the information you need. And it may not be medical marijuana like we have out west. I don't believe the United for Care Initiative allows for home grow, for example. But these are the steps that need to be taken to get medical marijuana passed, and then we can work to improve it. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we hope to be speaking with Matthew Mills from MedX-RX.com. We're going to talk a little bit about marijuana investing right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
I hope everybody's got their vape pen handy or their pipe or their bong or whatever you use to do your medicine.
But you don't, it's not a requirement. You don't have to be high for this show.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I don't know who you're talking to. You have to be high to do anything. At least I do. I don't know about you. In fact, I've been high so long that being straight is another high.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life. Conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult cannabis prohibition in our cannabis community chat.
Welcome back, everybody. 32 after the hour here at Cannabis Radio. And joining us on the telephone is Matthew Mills, I believe. Matthew, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. And we were getting you on the line here to talk all about MedX-RX. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, it's MedX Inc.
Okay.
That's the website to our company actually bounces to our crowdfunding platform to show the world that they're able to get involved in the world's first Regulation A-plus offering for all types of investors, big and small.
Now, this is an area that's new to a lot of people. A lot of my audience are people that have been longtime cannabis consumers, and now they're very excited about the industry taking off and want to get a piece of it, want to invest in this, be the next, invest in the next Yahoo, the next Google, whatever it might be. But the pathway is fraught with all sorts of difficulties and shysters and scams that a lot of naive investors might fall for. Can you tell us a little bit about your platform and how that can help people?
Well, yeah, and you're right. You know, there's all kinds of things going out in this industry. It's a brand new industry. So, you know, buyer beware. And this is what Regulation A Plus is really all about. It allows investors to get involved in a company that's been somewhat scrutinized. So in order for us to have this position as a Regulation A Plus offering, we had to go through the Jobs Act scrutiny by the SEC as well as FINRA, doing, you know, the whole bad actor background checks, really looking at the company. We had to turn in audited financials. And, you know, once we were approved, you know, our minimum investment is $420 for 700 shares. So it puts you in a place where, you know, and this is why this was created, it allows people to get involved. And let's just say the business model doesn't go to the next level. It's not taking your life savings away. It's gathering a huge crowd. It's putting small amounts of money from each person to allow a company like ours to create jobs and grow its business. Fortunately for us, we're very focused on the bottom line. As a management team, none of us are drawing salaries. We have very minimal overhead. We've got real products that are now making their way, and next week there's actually a press release that will be coming out, making our way to our first positioning of revenue for the company with our NatureSide product, which is an insecticide that's been approved for cannabis cultivation in the three recreational states, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington. And this is the kind of thing that investors want to see. They want to see a management team that's got a track record in this industry. You probably recognize there's not a lot of guys out there with a lengthy track record. There's some, and there's some great companies to invest in. But a lot of these startups are startup companies that management might not have a real track record. And that's where we differ here at MedX.
So you keep mentioning the Regulate A Plus investment. Give people an idea. What does that mean? Who's giving you this A Plus? Who's grading you?
Well, it's just called Regulation A Plus. It isn't a grade. What it is, it's derived from the Jumpstart Your Business initiative from the Jobs Act of 2012 that got put in place. The idea of this got put in place after the big crash in the economy, and after years of discussions and Congress kicking it around and doing what needed to be done, they made sure that the SEC focused on this and launched it. And what it does is it allows everyday Americans the ability to get in on the ground floor. Like you just said, Yahoo, Facebook, Apple, all of these companies, when they initially started out, you as a regular, Joe or Jane in America, you couldn't get involved in that. The only people that got those calls were the millionaires, the people that have a lot of money that were the first ones in, and they are the ones that can afford to take risk. And now, because of this new regulation, it allows everyone to get in a low dollar amount, giving the company the ability to gather the capital from the masses and giving the investor, the Joe and Jane regular American, the ability to get in on that ground floor where they wouldn't have been able to do it before.
Okay.
And it's proving itself with another company recently ahead of us called Elio. They're a car company, a three-wheeled car company, really unique business model. They launched and raised $17 million, and they sold stock at $12 a share. And last time I looked, they were hovering right around the $20 mark out on the OTCQX. So some pretty happy investors there that have been in that deal for less than a year, and it's already seeing an upward push because of the market segment and enabling companies like this to do this. And we feel that we're going to follow the same path. We're very focused as a group. And between our product line, the NatureSide product line, the insecticide products that are making their way into cannabis cultivation, along with our digital publication, the Marijuana Times, we feel we're going to be able to drive revenue and make investors happy and give them a progress of the company and just move this thing forward. So it's a very exciting time for us. The crowdfunding initiative is going very well. And it's, again, a very exciting time for us. And, we're not really celebrating. We have more of a responsibility here because we are the first cannabis company in America to get this position. So it's a little bit celebratory, but at the same time, the responsibility factor of making sure we really go somewhere to pave the way for others to follow this pathway that's been built for us is really important to us and others in the industry.
We're speaking with Matthew Mills from MedX Inc., and you can find their website at medx-rx.com. And this is kind of interesting to me because it seems to be this, and the paradigm you're describing isn't just limited to cannabis. You mentioned that three-wheel car company, but it seems to be this is the investment version of, say, Uber or a GoFundMe or all these other kind of online systems that have allowed us to gather and harness the power of many small individuals to do what it used to take one big individual. Hell, I could even mention, Bernie Sanders' campaign with his small donations versus super PACs. It seems to be this is the new wave.
Yeah, that's right. And especially on the investor front, I mean, you start looking at this thing And you recognize that in the past, you know, from eBay to Yahoo, like we were talking about before, I mean, you get to, like Facebook, let's take Facebook for instance. When Facebook became available to the public, it was in the, you know, it was a double-digit number. It was in the 30s. It was an IPO, and it shot up, and then it shot down. And, you know, can you imagine if you were able to get in on the ground floor when they first started that company with $500, $1,000, you know, $1 or $2 a share? And it came out an IPO, and kind of like Elio, you know, they were 12 bucks, now they're sitting at 20. You start looking at this kind of thing, and you recognize that there could be a big opportunity here for a little bit of money that, I mean, for us especially, you know, you think $420. I live in Los Angeles. Things are expensive here. $420 is a nice night out with my wife and my daughters, and go have a nice meal and maybe see a movie or you know, maybe go to a show downtown, and you know, it's gone. You know, this is the ability to take a small amount of money and take a gamble on a management team, and I'm just going to be real frank with everybody. Buyers need to beware. You need to go do your due diligence. You need to look at the companies. The information's out there. These companies and our company, you know, there's a ton of information. There's an offering circular that everybody needs to look at. It's detailed. It warns you you could lose all your money, and that's the attitude you have to take. However, if you're smart and you know how to do a little bit of reading to see where the management teams come from, how much money are they taking in salaries, do they have a big giant operating expense, you know, these are the things you really need to look at and understand before you get involved in an investment. And it's not that difficult. It's common sense, really, when you really look at it.
And as far as what people are investing in, you mentioned some of the products. Is your company more involved in helping other companies market different products, or are you the direct company that's making the product and selling it?
We're the manufacturer of the insecticide products that we sell. We've also developed a soil product that is an insecticidal infused soil. We've just filed for patent protection on that product. That should be available later this year. But we're a cannabis ancillary products company. Similar to the Gold Rush, the companies that made all the money around the Gold Rush were the guys who sold the picks and shovels. We're the picks and shovels of the Green Rush. So there's a big issue right now with pesticides and cannabis and marijuana, you know, as well as hemp. A lot of issues with pesticides being used, poisoning patients. This has been going on for a while, and now that oversight is coming into place in Colorado, Oregon, and Washington, the issue stands out. Quarantines, seizures of you know, thousands and thousands of plants are happening, so they don't fall in the hands of the patients to be, you know, using marijuana that's tainted with pesticides. So we sat back and watched this a couple of years ago and realized, hey, there's a big opportunity here. We've got this pesticide product that's moving into pest control and hospitality for other uses that works really good with cannabis. So we had to start testing it. Got now 2 years of testing behind it. Works incredible. And now farms in California are starting to use the product, and the results are astounding. And again, we don't touch the plant. We touched it for research and development. We don't touch it. We don't sell the plant. So we've got bank accounts, and, you know, we're an audited company, so it's a little different than getting involved in the, hey, we're going to get involved in the dispensary business or the, you know, or the cultivation business, which federally is not allowed yet. You can't have a bank account if you're in those businesses on a state level in multiple states. And we kind of want to stay away from that until the federal government decides, and we think it's coming. We knew Regulation A was coming, and we planned for it, and sure enough, it happened. And, you know, we're planning for the feds to knock marijuana into a Schedule II drug so that it does give the ability for banking to happen and become legitimate. And when that happens, in our 2 years of learning cultivation and supercritical extraction for extraction of essential oils on cannabis, we've gotten ourselves positioned so when this does happen, we can grow world-class medical marijuana for patients that's not only organic, but really high in CBD levels, low in THC levels. That's what we kind of specialize in, amongst other things that are going to come out of our research and development that we're working on now.
It sounds wonderful. It's medxrx.com if you want more information. Matthew Mills from MedX Inc., thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today and inform us a bit on this investment opportunity.
You got it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, stay tuned, folks. We'll be back with a radical rant right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Tommy Chong Show on Cannabis Radio. You know, about this podcast, what I really want to do from now on is to solve world problems. I feel like my job is to calm everybody down and focus on how we can save this planet.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Today in the rant, I want to talk about marijuana and driving. It's a subject we bring up quite a bit here on the show, and I always like to approach this with facts, science, reason, and logic. Today, we get some more science. This comes from the British Medical Journal, and the BMJ Open is the journal, I should say. And the study is entitled Prevalence of, oops, it scrolled too far. There we go. Prevalence of alcohol and drug use in injured British Columbia drivers, headed by Dr. Jeffrey Brubaker. And it's an interesting study. What they were measuring here is the prevalence of drug use in injured drivers and to identify associated demographic factors and crash characteristics. They got their information from 7 trauma centers, ERs, right, in British Columbia, Canada, between 2010 and 2012, and it consisted of drivers who had blood samples that had been obtained within 6 hours of a crash. And it's interesting how they put this study together. In their strengths and limitations, they point out that they analyzed blood samples for the presence of active drugs, allowing them to determine the prevalence of recent drug use in injured drivers. Most previous North American studies were unable to distinguish between drivers with positive metabolites and those with active drug in their blood. So that's the first thing. They're trying to narrow this down to the active THC. So many of the previous studies talk about metabolites, which the very word metabolize means that you're no longer under the influence of the drug. You've metabolized it. They furthermore go on to say, rather than reporting the results of drug tests performed for clinical purposes, that is, based on clinical suspicion of drug use, we analyzed excess blood that had been obtained for other clinical purposes, that is, not for drug screening. In this way, we avoided the risk of selecting only drivers suspected for using drugs. This is an important caveat. In previous studies, when they take a look at the blood in injured drivers, the reason for collecting the blood is the suspicion that the driver was impaired. Given that, you're already selecting, you're having a selection bias for those who are exhibiting the characteristics of impairment. And you're ignoring those who could have been sampled, who had THC in their system, but didn't seem to be impaired. They just got in a car accident. They got T-boned or rear-ended. It wasn't their fault, right? And instead, they're getting blood from, you know, if they took them in for to test their blood. I don't know what you'd test blood for in a car wreck, whether they got a disease or something. I don't know, but something other than the fact they got in a wreck. So that was added, or that was a part of this sample, unlike many other studies where all they're looking at is people they thought were impaired drivers. And so as they analyze this, they also point out that the blood volumes that are small and limited did not always have sufficient blood to perform quantification of drugs other than cannabinoids. So this is important. They say, you know, because when they're doing the tests for the other medical purposes, they use most of the blood they test, and there's only a small excess amount left, and that may not be enough to detect cocaine or meth or heroin or other drugs other than cannabinoids. See that again, because cannabinoids stay in the system for so long and are so detectable. And they only obtained blood from those drivers who had serious enough injuries that they required blood analysis. This means drivers with minor injuries were not included, and our findings do not apply to drivers with less serious injuries. But again, if the wreck was not that serious, what are we worried about, right? We are worried whether or not cannabis use causes people to get into serious wrecks that cause injury. So that's the setup. That's what we got as the setup. We're going to take a look at everybody who ended up in the ER for a car wreck, whether or not we thought they were impaired at the time, whether or not the blood was taken for a drug screening. Instead, it might have been taken for other medical purposes. So how did that change the results? What difference did they get in this report than previous reports that have said, you know, the crash risk is 2 times greater if you smoke marijuana, if there's any detectable marijuana in your system? Well, there's 2 major points that came out of this from testing all these people, from broadening the scope. And here's one of the points. The second most common recreational drug and most common illicit drug detected was cannabis. 12.6% of drivers tested positive for cannabis metabolites, 7.3% were positive for Delta-9 THC, and 3% had Delta-9 THC that was greater than 3 nanograms per milliliter. Okay, so we got about 1 out of 8 drivers who is a pot smoker, right, have metabolites. We got about 1 out of 14 drivers that are regular pot smokers because they've got active THC in their system. And we've got 3%, about 1 out of 33 people, that have 3 nanograms or more. So off the bat, we don't have that many people that we're talking about. They also note that the Delta-9 THC was more often detected in male drivers and in drivers aged under 30 years. Okay. Now, this is something that we found in a previous study that was pointing out, once you corrected for the fact that most of the people getting injured in crashes are the same young male drivers who are lousy drivers, whether they're stoned or not, the same young male demographic that's more likely to take risks to drive more aggressively. Once you factor that out, cannabis had no effect whatsoever, right? You remember us talking about that a couple weeks ago? Here's what they found in this study. Delta-9 THC was not found significantly more often in drivers admitted to the hospital. Got it? When we admit drivers to the hospital who get in car wrecks, there's no statistical difference between whether or not they smoked pot or did not. We're not more likely to find active THC in the blood of someone in a car wreck. Nor were they more likely to find THC in people involved in nighttime crashes or weekend crashes. So that theory that, you know, you'll go out at night and party, or you'll be out on the weekend and party, and that's more like, you know, smoking pot, and that's more likely to get in your crash. No, not found to be true. The second point they make here, Delta 9 THC greater than 3 nanograms per milliliter was more common in males and in drivers aged under 30. Again, so the chance you have a greater degree of active THC in your system does correlate with whether or not you're a young male, because young males are more likely to be smoking pot. So it doesn't tell us anything we don't know. But here's the part we didn't know. Unlike the case with alcohol, this was not seen more commonly in drivers admitted to the hospital, nor in those involved in nighttime or single vehicle crashes. So once again, when we get drivers admitted to the hospital in a car wreck, compared to being admitted to the hospital for any other reason, you're more likely to find alcohol in the blood of that driver compared to the average hospital admittance. But you're not more likely to find cannabis in the blood of the driver compared to the average hospital admittance. This is the latest study that has refined the search and refined the definitions and found out that what we've all known is true. There is no SMOF. SMOF stands for Stoned Mayhem on the Freeways. There is no SMOF. There is no problem out there demanding to be solved of people stoned out of their minds causing wrecks and hurting and killing people. It doesn't exist. This is not to say that someone won't get super stoned and get in a wreck and die. The point is, that's more not any more likely than them not being stoned and getting in a wreck and dying. This is not to say that getting stoned doesn't impair your driving abilities to some extent. Just like it isn't untrue to say that marijuana smoke has carcinogens in it. But the operating point here that's important is not whether or not marijuana impairs you or has carcinogens. It's whether or not marijuana leads to a wreck or leads to cancer. And it does not in either of those cases. In the case of the cigarette smoke or the cannabis smoke, yes, the cannabis smoke has carcinogens in it, but it also has THC. And the THC mitigates the carcinogenic effect of the smoke from hydrocarbon combustion. So yes, it's more carcinogenic, but it counters that carcinogenic effect with THC. Likewise, yes, directly inhaling cannabis and immediately getting behind the wheel will impair your ability to react quickly, to handle divided attention tasks and so forth, but it's also mitigated by the fact that cannabis tends to let you know when you're too impaired, and you tend to compensate for those factors. You drive slower. You take less chances. You change lanes less often. So this is always a tough discussion because there's such emotion around the concept of drunk driving. And for so long, drunk driving went unaddressed in our society, until Mothers Against Drunk Driving in the 80s brought it to our attention and all the terrible devastation that families went through because of drunk drivers. And there was also Big Tobacco in the past that lied about its product, said doctors smoke Camels, right? And tried to hook kids. But because alcohol did something in the past or tobacco did something in the past does not guarantee that the same effect is relevant for cannabis. It's not. Big marijuana doesn't have to lie about its product because its product isn't toxic and addictive. Marijuana drivers don't have to have the same sort of consideration as alcohol drivers because their product doesn't cause them to behave irrationally, misestimate their abilities, and destroy their judgment. The simplest question. Where are the bodies? Where are the bodies from the Stone Mayhem on the freeways? That's all the time we got for Hour 1. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is up next with more news stories and your calls at 971-533-7111. For everyone here at Cannabis Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for everything.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.